KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
My good friend Steve McKee on the phone with us this afternoon. He is the owner of McKee Walworth Advertising, co-owner. Pat and he have been partners for a really long time. Steve, welcome to ABQ Connect.
Good to be here.
Hey, you are also a grandfather again for how many times?
Well, it just keeps happening, so it depends on what day it is. But I've got a new little one. Margot Rose McKee was born a couple weeks ago, and we have one coming in November.
Wow.
And it'll be five.
That makes you so much older than me, my friend.
It makes me happier, I will tell you that.
Yeah. No, congratulations. I mean, you have amazing kids. Our families have grown up together, and Steve, I remember many, many years ago, I knew your dad well. He was an assistant athletic director at the University of New Mexico, and I was an assistant coach for the Lobo basketball team, and got to know your dad a little bit, and then got to know you down the road as our families going to church together at Calvary. And one of the things that I noticed about you all the time, Steve, is you've always been an encourager. I remember a couple of times I was in the pulpit, even on this radio station, you've sent me, you know, encouraging words, and I so much appreciate that. So, Steve, I know as you look at New Mexico politics, you want to encourage people to run for office, and you want to encourage people to make a difference in our state. But I also know that you have a vast knowledge of branding, and I know at one time here a year or so ago we talked about the concept of rights, and I read the Democrat platform for the state of New Mexico, and the word "we have a right to this and we have a right to that" is throughout that document, and I noticed some similar things in the Republican platform. So that's what we wanted to talk about with you today is, I don't know if branding applies to the use of the word rights, but what did our forefathers mean when they said that we had certain unalienable rights?
Well, what's interesting is there's a big debate as to whether they said unalienable or inalienable. Mm. As it turns out, they use both terms kind of interchangeably, and they are interchangeable terms. It's a very simple thing. An unalienable right is a right that can't be transferred or taken away or denied in any way by anyone. So it's a natural right. That's often the term that's used for it. It's a God-given right for those of us who are in the faith. But it's a right that precedes, predates, preexists any form of government.
Mm. Well, and I want to get into that's a perfect definition and a perfect foundation for what I wanted to talk about, because then I think it gets confused as people. I'm just going to assume that they're well intended, but let me just read a couple things, and this is all based on really just the preamble of the Democrat platform of the state of New Mexico. They start by saying that we have a right to our core values or our rights. Number one, start with the right to vote. All citizens should have an equal voice in how we as a people are governed and call out in the disproportionate influence by rich and powerful special interests in our government. That's a statement taken right from the Democrat platform. So I totally agree that we have a right to vote, but then I start thinking about the so-called disproportionate influence by rich and powerful special interest. And frankly, Steve, I can't help but think about the influence and the money being put into the election by Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, well, now you're talking about branding, because we do have a right to vote. Self-government is an inalienable right. But with language like disproportionate influence by rich and powerful, them are branding terms, as we like to say, because what they're trying to do is pit, you know, one person against another. And both parties do this to some extent. One of the things that's important to point out is it's not, whether Planned Parenthood spends more on the campaign than the National Rifle Association on the other side. Mm-hmm. That's sort of a misdirection play, because one of the reasons that campaign finance has been before the Supreme Court and is so important is because there's a lot of other ways to get your message out other than through campaign spending. So while corporations and special interest groups use their money to do it, let's not forget that the media has a First Amendment right to say whatever they want, whenever they want, to anybody they want. And when we start talking about rich and powerful influences in, you know, spending money on elections, we seem to leave out the editorial boards and the TV stations and all of the media. So that's where the branding fight really begins, is you can, you know, separate the right to vote, which should stand alone by itself, from all of the color commentary that the parties say about it, including suppressing the vote and illegal voting and all that stuff. That's where you get into branding, spin, whatever you want to call it.
Right. Well, Steve, I didn't send you this on our little list because it just happened this morning, but I was a little surprised watching Good Morning America, ABC's morning news program, when the news reporter said, "It is a happy day for all of us that Kamala Harris has been chosen by Joe Biden as his vice presidential candidate." I thought, well, is it a happy day for the news reporter at ABC News? And I somehow felt like that was not very objective. Would you agree with that?
Oh, sure. And I'm sure that the qualifying statement was first African-American woman, you know, to be nominated for vice president. But without that qualifying statement, you know, it wasn't a happy day for a lot of people. And so that too, and this is the art of politics. You know, they try to set up a straw man argument or some sort of a something that you can't argue with and stretch that over a different kind of a meaning. And we're all kind of natural at it, I think, but journalists a lot of times are quite intentional about it, I believe. And politicians, of course, are practiced at it.
Mm-hmm. Let me name a couple things that I read in the Democrat platform, and we'll talk and compare that as we go to the Republican platform. I just want people to understand the unalienable rights, or the inalienable rights, as you mentioned. These are things that can't be taken away. I think in the past you've also defined these as something that if you have a right to it, it doesn't infringe on my rights in any way.
Yeah, by definition, that has to be true.
Okay, so how about this, again, mentioned as a right in the Democrat platform, which is to have a secure, decent paying job?
It actually goes beyond that, because I went ahead and read the entire platform. And what it actually says, let me find it here, is pretty incredible. You have the right to a job that you have the right to a job, first of all, that earns enough to provide adequate food, housing, clothing, health care, recreation, and protection from economic fears of old age, sickness, and accidents. That is put forth as an inalienable right. And I don't know how you get to having a right to a job. Now, it's a good thing, and we've talked before about the difference between goods and rights.
Yeah.
Obviously, healthcare is a good thing. But to qualify for a right, it must...
Hey, Steve, Steve, I don't mean to interrupt you, but we have kind of lost your audio feed. I don't know. We're not catching anything of what you're saying. I don't know if you would be able to, it's probably a computer connection or something like that. I don't know if you'd be able to dial us back on your phone. But we're right now not able to hear you as you're talking. So, okay. Why don't we take a quick break and let Steve dial us back up here at the station, and that is 505-338-5790. And by the way, if you have a question for Steve while we're on the air, we're happy for you to call in as well. We only have two phone lines. Steve will be in one on one of them. So we'll be right back with ABQ Connect and Steve McKee. Stay with us.
The most important information anyone can receive comes from an understanding of the Bible. Only here do we find direct revelation about all things, about life and relationship with God. Life doesn't always provide us with time or opportunity to break away and study the Bible full time. That's why KNKT is dedicated to presenting round-the-clock teaching by some of the best communicators we can find about Scripture and how it relates to our lives. We need to be exposed to the full counsel of God's Word. And now, KNKT presents a Bible School of the Air. Each Saturday, starting at 9 a.m., KNKT will present Through the Bible verse-by-verse teachings by Chuck Smith and Chuck Missler. Skip Heitzig, followed by a question-and-answer session with Scott Richards. We'll be rotating through the Old and New Testament, so drop into our Bible journey at any time and go through the entire Word of God with us. The KNKT Bible School of the Air. Tuition is free. The rewards are eternal. Take your seat Saturdays at 9 a.m. on 107.1 FM.
Listen as Skip Heitzig applies Bible truth to our world in this hotspot.
I am intrigued by that verse because I think this verse could be said about many pulpits.
Many pulpits.
Even in our own country. The Word of God was rare. There was no widespread revelation.
This is the issue.
The issue.
Sad, but true.
Most contemporary preaching is marked by a lack of confidence in Scripture. Scripture isn't preached. It's not, thus says the Lord, here's the word of the Lord. I think that the modern church has become more fascinated with technology rather than theology.
Find more from Skip at connectwithskip.com.
Connectwithskip.com. And I think we need to get back to good
theological
through the Bible, doctrinal preaching to strengthen believers, especially in this day and age.
Grow in your faith with Skip's reading plans. Search for Skip Heitzig in the YouVersion Bible app.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Well, we started the show with Steve McKee. He is the owner of McKee Wallwork Advertising in Albuquerque and unfortunately had a little technical glitch, but I understand Mr. McKee is back with us.
I am. Sorry about that.
Oh, no. It's not your fault. It's just one of those fluid things. Since COVID hit, we'd have to do phone interviews, and I'd love to see your smiling face in studio, but we try to keep people safe and accommodate schedules. And one of the things that we have learned is that we've got to upgrade a little technology, which we're working on. And we, again, so much appreciate all of our sponsors. The reason that we even have this programming is because of them. Steve, you began to tell us a little bit. We started talking a little bit about rights. And, for example, a couple things that you can't really take away are the right to vote. I think that would be an unalienable right. Everybody should have the right to vote, right? And everybody should have, everybody should be treated with respect. Everybody should, be treated as equals, in terms of race, and maybe even, male or female, whatever gender. You ought to be treated equally. I think we would agree that those are inalienable rights. But when you start reading things about a secure, decent paying job, and you read exactly what the platform said on the Democrat side, I can't help but go to a sports analogy. It sounds like they would anybody trying out for a team, you name the sport, is entitled to start, be a leading scorer on the team, and get all kinds of equal recognition with everybody else on the team. Would that be an analogy that would be worth considering?
Well, sure, but it's worse than that because you can't, by definition, a right can't cost money because if you don't have the money to pay for it, it infringes upon my rights if you take it out of my pocket. And that's just a basic definition that your rights stop where the other guy's nose begins. So the right to a job is a non sequitur. It's not possible. And that's where you get into either it's an incoherent statement, or worse, you can get cynical about it. But nobody has the right to a job because nobody can have the right to a job. It's not possible, and anybody who suggests that it is not being honest with you.
Let's talk a little bit about the right to nonprofit universal health care, and then I want to add, which includes comprehensive behavioral health services, reproductive care, which is interestingly categorized as birth control, quality prenatal, postpartum care, and abortion care.
Yeah, the platform underscores, it actually says healthcare is a fundamental human right. It's really underscoring it. We have the same problem with that, first of all, is it is not, because it can't be. It's not to say that it's not a good thing, and it's not to say that it's not something we want to explore ways to make sure, you know, everybody has access to. But it is not a right, and it can't be a right, especially when they are defining abortion up to birth as a fundamental human right. And in fact, I was surprised when I saw this. I know there's a lot of different kind of listeners to the program, but if any of your listeners are Democrats and are pro-life, then the Democrat Party platform says you're not a Democrat, because it unequivocally says Democrats are pro-choice. There's no room in the tent for anybody else.
Mm. Well, we've had a number of people. We've had the folks from CareNet. We've had the folks from the Right to Life Committee on the show, and they've talked about services that they provide that are really contrary to abortion services provided by Planned Parenthood clinics and other clinics. We have a distinction in New Mexico as being the capital of late-term abortion in the country, which is a disappointing thing to be known as.
Yeah, and we are underscoring that, and they're trying to strengthen it. And one of the other things that I find really interesting when you read through the platform is they have a section on civil rights, and in another section they underscore our First Amendment rights of free speech, free press, and peaceful assembly, but they leave out the right to free exercise of religion. And so it is very visible by its absence in their statement that they're underscoring all of the liberties protected by the First Amendment except the free exercise of religion. And mm-hmm. So you start piecing these things together and you see where it's going.
Yeah. I want to also go and talk a little bit about the, you know, we're talking about some things that we obviously don't agree with the language in the Democrat platform, but that doesn't mean we can't get along. That doesn't mean we can't work together. Steve, do you still have a lot of optimism that both sides of the aisle can get things done for the country and our state and work together? Because we know we're not going to have all Democrats, all Republicans. We're going to have a mixture. Can we work together?
In fact, yeah, in reading through the platform, you know, one of the things that struck me is 80 or 90% of it, I think we would all agree on. For the bulk of things, you know, we do agree on equal opportunity, we do agree on non-discrimination, we do agree on economic opportunity, all those things. And that's why it's just important at the margins to get this stuff correct.
When we talk about the Republican platform, they don't use the word rights except in three areas. They say individual liberty and states' rights and limited federal government are yeah. very important. Then they talk about the right to bear arms, which, of course, is a big controversial subject.
Well, it's actually not controversial. I mean, it's controversial, but it shouldn't be because it is an inalienable right. And that's where you get into the, you know, the differences in the two platforms is the Republican platform doesn't really, as you mentioned, talk about rights terribly much other than as a somewhat of a preamble, because it presumes our natural God-given unalienable rights and reinforces those and then moves on to goods, you know, things that we believe in and we should do and, you know, that we should organize around. Whereas the Democrat platform tends to define priority programs in terms of rights, which we've already discussed as somewhat kind of a non sequitur. So it's really just, it's two different approaches to writing based on two different presuppositions to, or two different understandings, two different worldviews, really, of what an inalienable right is.
Steve, I want to compare two things. One of the rights, again, mentioned on the Democrat platform is labor. And it says this statement, Democrats will remove obstacles for workers, public and private, to exercise their right to organize and join unions. Now, I want to contrast that with number one on the Republican platform is economic freedom. We support government policies that do not limit what Americans can achieve economically by placing unnecessary and burdensome regulations on American business. These policies should promote the private sector over government dependence and reward job creation and work, not welfare. Now, I'm going to read between the lines here, but it looks like the Democrat platform is promoting unions and you know, collective bargaining and all those kind of things, which I don't think the Republican Party is trying to limit that. What I think in my interpretation is that the Republican Party is trying to say, we don't want individuals to be forced to join labor unions in order to work. Is that accurate?
Yes, that is accurate. And that's where you get into a political disagreement, not so much a rights disagreement, because I think we would all agree that people have the right to organize. I mean, that is an inalienable right, that they, their labor is their own property, and it's their right to do with it what they will. And so I don't think anybody would argue with that plank of the platform that says people have the right to organize into unions. The political debate centers around two things, really, and that is the best way of organizing business and labor for the most productivity and efficiency, and that's a fair debate to have. And then also the right of individuals, as you said, not to be forced to join a union or not to have their union dues paying for political speech with which they disagree. So it's a little bit of an inside baseball argument, but it's the only real rights argument is that one about how much of your dues go to political speech. The rest of it is a fair political disagreement that should be, you know, hashed out in the on the floor of the House and the Senate.
Going to go off script a little bit here, Steve, but a long time ago, maybe a year or so ago when you were on the program, you were talking about how the Congress of the United States was structured in both houses, in the Senate and Congress, and how they were designed and how the desks out away from the stage and the speaking platform were designed with desks, and people kind of were supposed to go to work at a certain time during the day and talk with one another in these chambers. And then we discussed a little bit about how C-SPAN came along, and everything they were discussing at one time was kind of on a public recording. We had audio and video of senators and congressmen talking with one another and negotiating. And that really has changed quite a bit now, hasn't it, on a federal level?
Yeah, it used to be that the chambers of the House and the Senate were their offices. So that's where they were all the time. And that's where the debates happened. And there was a public gallery, and it was all very out in the open. But since that time, you know, the senators and representatives moved into office buildings. They only go to the floor when they need to vote or when they want to make a speech to the TV cameras. And that, I don't think that's been terribly helpful. Obviously, C-SPAN wanting to bring congressional activity to the public through TV was a really well-intentioned idea, but I'm not sure the unintended consequences have worked out to our benefit.
Well, and I, for one, am tired of the he said, she said. I would love to see, mm-hmm. I'd like to see both sides of the aisle in front of us having these discussions. And again, I'm going to voice my opinion. Again, no overt intention to criticize anybody, but I'd just love to see Michelle Lujan Grisham with her committee of experts having a public discussion and maybe include some of our Democrats and Republicans on both sides of the aisle as part of the discussion and do that publicly instead of every Thursday we get an announcement about which direction our lives are going to go. Is that unreasonable to think about that?
No, and in fact, it's not a partisan thing at all. There is the governor has basically shut out the legislature from any decision making with respect to the virus. And Democrat and Republican lawmakers are allied and united in saying that one branch of government has been entirely shut out from this process. And we as New Mexicans should be very concerned about that. Not that she has, you know, ill intentions or that her advisors do, but the way the government is set up is not for, you know, the governor to have that authoritarian power, if you will. The legislature is the supreme branch of government and has been unable to meet and has basically been rendered powerless in this interim period. And I think that's a real problem for our state. And I think Democrats and Republicans on both sides of the aisle would agree with that.
I guess it comes down to a lot of people that are on the Republican side see the Democrat platform as very socialistic in concept. It's not a bad thing to want everybody to have a bad job or everybody to have a good job and to make a great living and to take care of their families. Those are all well-intentioned ideals. But capitalism is a little bit different. You actually have to go to work and you have to get training and you have to have some discipline, and it's not easy. And so those two perspectives are really in contrast, aren't they?
Yeah, I wouldn't even put it that way. There are different, Democrats and Republicans have different ideas, but there is a level at which what the platform says is literally incoherent because the world does not work that way. It can't work that way. You may not like the planks of the Republican platform, and plenty of people don't, but they can operate. There are planks in the Democrat platform that literally are, they can't happen. They can't be done. And that's where that dangerous thing called branding can be misused. You know, one of the definitions of branding, a professor once said, is a brand is a mental shortcut that discourages rational thought. Mm-hmm. And that's all well and good when you are, you know, you see Nike on a pair of shoes and you go, oh, those must be a good pair of shoes. But when it comes to public policy that's going to affect people's lives, I think we want to encourage rational thought among all of us. And, you know, I know you and I have said that every time we've talked. We all need to think about this stuff more.
So, Steve, I'm fascinated with the statement that you just made, and we may even put that on in a graphic about, you know, what branding is. But I want to ask you, how do we as the faith community, how do we wade through the branding and the intentions that are directed at us? Because we're being inundated with all kinds of branding, aren't we?
Sure. It's actually really easy, and I appreciate the Democrat Party putting out their platform. It's online. Get it and read it. Now, the Republican platform is a little bit different because the party just basically re-approved the 2016 platform nationally since they can't meet in convention this year. But the Republican 2016 platform is available online. You can read that. The New Mexico Republican, or I'm sorry, the New Mexico Democrat Party has a state platform. This is the one we're referring to. Read it. Get them both and read them. And then, you know, find the candidates that are running in your district and ask them if they agree or disagree with whatever planks you want to underline. It really is very simple. It'll take you an hour.
Absolutely. And Steve, it doesn't take any time at all to register to vote either, does it?
No, it doesn't. Please do.
Steve McKee, McKee Walwork. Steve, thanks for joining us today on ABQ Connect.
You bet.
Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.